Brad Locke.
And I'm Dalton Milton.
And you're listening to Prep Rally, a podcast covering high school sports in Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hey, folks, welcome into a new episode of Prep Rally. It is playoff week here in Northeast Mississippi, at least for a lot of the teams, classes 2, 3, and 4A, getting the postseason kicked off in high school football. We've got that to talk about. Of course, 1A, 5A, and 6A wrapping up the regular season this weekend. And we've got other stuff going on. I'm Brad. Dalton over there, as usual. How's it going, man?
Oh, it is going. Like you just said, so much playoff football. And, you know, the teams that are still fighting in 6A, 1A, and 5A, you know, basically are the playoff teams right now. So
right,
it's going to be a good week of high school football for us this week.
Yeah, and hopefully no games will get moved by the weather. As we're speaking right now, the only game I've seen moved is Olive Branch, Center Hill, which we don't cover those teams, but they do play a lot of the teams that we do. They got some rain coming in Friday, as we did last week, and last week, of course, we had some games moved up to Thursday. But we're going to look back at some of last week's games. We're going to look ahead to some key games, mainly key playoff games this week. Going to look at a little bit of basketball, cross country, and swimming as well. So we got a packed episode. Let's go ahead and just get things going. And just a reminder before we get going that you can access this show in iTunes, any of your podcast apps, also at preprally.djournal.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at djournalpreps. Okay, let's look back at some of last week's games real quick. Dalton, the game you were at, Tupelo, clinching the division with a 25-7 win over Horn Lake on the road. We figured this would probably be kind of a tough game for Tupelo because Horn Lake's a good team, but they just, once again, they took care of business.
Yeah, I mean, it was a tough game, and Horn Lake deserves all the credit because they were a fantastic team, but this Tupelo's defense was just way too much for them.
Yeah, what, four turnovers?
Four turnovers, and from the very first play that, well, I guess second play, they had a false start, and then the next play, Tupelo jumped on a safety.
Wow.
And so it was 2-0 to basically start the game, and then they got a field goal, 5, and then they finally started to score a little bit. And then just that second half was just Tay Standifer started off the second half on the first drive with the interception, and then he pulled out a 75-yard pick six later in the game. So
wow.
Yeah, the defense, they didn't allow much. I think right there in the garbage time, I think there's like a minute and a half left, they scored a touchdown, Horn Lake did, and
yeah, I like to see how many points the first team defense is actually giving up for Tupelo, because it seems like most teams that score against them, it's late, it's against the backups, isn't it?
Yeah, it hasn't been much, and their starting defense is just so good. I know the last few weeks that DeSoto Central scored 14 on the backups, Horn Lake scored 7 on the backups.
Yeah,
and it's just
so basically the starters are throwing shutouts just about every week, it seems mm-hmm. like, especially of late. So, and if this team, and I think they're definitely a contender to win it all in 6A, if they're going to win, it's going to be in large part because of that defense, which it's the cliche, but it's true. I mean, defense wins championships. If the other teams can't score, it's going to be hard to beat you. And they got enough weapons on offense.
Yeah, the offense has been playing better as of late. They kind of struggled in the beginning of the season, but you know, this week they struggled. They didn't do very well, and then their best drive was, I think it was 2 or 3 plays, and then Stephon McGlon hit Jordan Jernigan for a 35-yard pass and then a 40-yard touchdown, back-to-back plays.
So, yeah. So Tupelo now 10-0, clinching the division. The Tupelo will host in the first round of the playoffs next week. Have one more regular season game we'll look at briefly here in a minute. Senatobia and Corinth, that's the game I was at. It was cold and wet, Dalton, as it was at Horn Lake, but the games we were at did not get moved to Thursday, mm-hmm. Not those games. But Corinth had a shot to win the division, which, you know, it's Corinth, you know, had a tough year last year, missed the playoffs for the first time in forever, so back in the playoffs. But Senatobia, just a little bit too much, 28-21 the final, and DeAndre House, man, that running back for Senatobia, he was something else. It was, like I said, cold and wet, and they have that field turf at Corinth, so the field was in pretty good shape, and DeAndre House had no problem running and cutting and jumping and juking. The best way I can think to describe him is like a water bug, which is what he was out there mm-hmm. in the wet, and ended up with 301 yards rushing, 268 of that in the first half. He had 4 touchdowns. Senatobia did all its scoring in that first half. Corinth scored late, a late touchdown, recovered an onside kick, and had a chance to drive down and tie it. Just ran out of time. And that's an offense that Wing T, they don't pass much, so it's hard for them to kind of get back into a game late. But they certainly gave it a run. But still, Corinth is in the playoffs there, so a good season there so far for Todd Lowry and that group. But Senatobia wins the division there in 1-4A and will host in the first round. And speaking of 1-4A, sticking with that, Ripley defeating New Albany 22-0, and that gives the Tigers a number two seed. That's ended up being a nice season. You know, going back to Chad Cook, remember he left over the summer really late for a coaching change, so they promoted Sam Hathern, an assistant coach there for several years, to head coach, and that's just a tough thing to try to deal with. And they had some struggles early in the season, but they came on pretty strong here and ended up with a number two seed in the division. And really a really good job there by Sam with the Ripley Tigers, and going to get to host a playoff game this week there in 4A. So a good win there against a rival, New Albany, 22-0 again was the final. Looking at some numbers here real quick. Trey Blanchard, I saw him play at Corinth a couple of weeks ago. Quarterback had a great game throwing and running the ball in that one. Had another good game against New Albany as well, leading them to that big win. So anyway, just a few games there. A couple more results of note from last week. Okolona clinches the 1-1A title by defeating Thrasher 24-0. The Chieftains are rolling along there. And South Pontotoc, Dalton, we knew they were going to have to win to get into the playoffs. After that 7-0 start, they stumbled down the stretch, but they win a close one against Aberdeen, 21-14, and they get into the playoffs, I think, as a three seed out of Division 4-3A.
Yeah, and I'll be one of the first to say that this is kind of caught me by surprise. I hate that I kind of wrote them off, but I did, I think. And but, you know, after they lose starting quarterback and they start losing games, blowouts like that, it's kind of hard not to. And then they come out and defense just played amazing. And they had two turnovers both late in the game to pull out that Aberdeen win, and they just got the running attack, they leaned on it heavily, and it worked for them. And sure I think they kind of used that. Everybody wrote them off and they just played well with it. They just thought, yeah, you know, everybody thinks we're going to lose. Let's prove them wrong.
Yeah, now they get to go to Water Valley, take on a good team there in the first round of the 3A playoffs. Let's look ahead at some of the key games this week, mainly some playoff games. We'll start with O'Bannon at Baldwin in 2A. This could be one of the better games of the week because Baldwin is the number one seed out of Division 1-2A, but O'Bannon, probably one of the better four seeds in the playoffs. They come out of a very tough division. They lost the three division games by combined 16 points, and they've been missing their star running back the last three games there. And he might be back this week. I was actually talking with the coach, Charles Moore, just this morning, and he said that his running back, Kurtrell Benson, has been missing time with a pulled calf muscle. He's been working some this week. They hope to get him cleared so he can play a little bit. I mean, in eight games, he's run for 1,790 yards and 18 touchdowns. He's averaging well over 200 yards a game when he's playing, but he's missed the last three games with that injury, so that'll be a big boost for O'Bannon if they can get him back. But they've got some other good players. They've got a quarterback, Chardarius Moore. Coach Moore's son has done a really good job, 97 pass attempts, zero interceptions. And he's done a good job kind of picking up the slack since Benson has gone out. And then on Baldwin's side, they're going to be without a running back, the star running back, Jondrix Robinson. You may have heard about this. Last Friday, he got in a motorcycle accident, broke his femur. It could have been a lot worse, apparently. That seemed to be the extent, which is pretty bad. But again, a motorcycle accident. He was wearing his helmet, so that no head injuries, no internal injuries. So it certainly could have been a lot worse. Wishing him a speedy recovery. But that's their leading rusher, their best offensive player, Dalton.
Yeah, I could definitely see them struggling without him. Whenever I saw him, you know, their last regular season game 2 weeks ago, he was the catalyst on offense. John Sweeney did have his best game of the season in that game, so that could be, you know, signs to come for the playoffs. And but if their defense play like they did against East Union, 2 weeks ago, then I think they're going to be they should be fine. I mean, Joel Wilkinson for East Union is a do-it-all running back, just kind of like O'Bannon's, like you were just saying, and they shut him down almost completely. And so,
They're going to need that defense to step up and play well, and they're going to need the quarterback Sweeney to play well. And really, his last three games, that's been his best three-game stretch for Baldwin. He's thrown for 592 yards and six touchdowns over the last three games there. So they're going to need him to play well. They've got Kerryon Doss. It's a pretty good running back that would could probably put up big numbers if he wasn't having to play behind John Church Robinson. I saw him early in the year against Boonville, and I think he's a good running back. So Doss may have to carry the load this week in the running game for Baldwin. Shannon at Louisville, this is an intriguing little matchup. Shannon in the playoffs, as they are pretty much every year, haven't won a playoff game, though, since 2010. They come out of a really tough division. They're well-tested, losing close games to Pontotoc and Itawamba AHS in 2-4A. That's one of the best divisions in the state overall. And so Shannon, with a really explosive offense, I think we'll have a shot here to beat a good Louisville team. That's a program that's good most years. I think they're 9-2 going into this game. So Shannon, they got Jordan Gillian there, quarterback, Thalon Whitfield at running back, and just they've got a host of skill guys on both sides of the ball. So that should be a good game. We're going to have Paul Jones covering that one for us. So that's one we need to be there for that. That should be a good game there in the 4A playoffs. A non-playoff game, the game you're going to be at this week, Dalton, Tupelo wrapping up the regular season against Oxford. I haven't done all the math, but the Chargers have to win to at least have a shot at getting in the playoffs.
Yeah, the whole division scenario there is crazy. There's four teams. Tupelo's clinched at 6-8,
right,
number one seat, but then there's four teams that are tied at 4-2.
Wow.
And so three out of the four are going to get in, and Horn Lake, who was 7-1 last week, has a chance of not making the playoffs now.
Really? So there's a possibility they don't get in.
Yeah, and so Oxford has to win, though. So if they lose, they're out.
Yeah, and you know, you kind of wonder if this is a bit of a dangerous game for Tupelo. I mean, ultimately, it doesn't matter if Tupelo wins this game because they've clinched, and maybe you want to rest some guys. I don't know how Trent Hammond's going to approach it. But Oxford has a pretty tough defense, and you could kind of maybe see this being a bit closer game than expected for at least a little while. I think Tupelo will win, but Oxford's got a lot more to play for.
Yeah, as I talked to Trent Hammond this morning, actually, and I asked him about that, and he said that in the grand scheme of things, when it comes to winning the championship, this game doesn't matter.
Right.
But when it comes to being perfect, it matters a lot.
Yeah, and it's going to be hard to tell the players to not go out there and try to play like they've played all year.
But like you said, Oxford's defense, they're allowing 9.82 points per game.
It's pretty good.
But Tupelo's right behind them with 10.10. I think it's 10.10 points per game.
Yeah, and something like that.
This is going to be a huge defensive game. Oxford, I know, has with all respect towards them, they've kind of struggled on offense.
They have.
For the year, and I just don't think they're going to be able to hang with Tupelo. I think Tupelo can get up, if they can get up 14 points, 17 points, I don't think Oxford's going to be able to score that much on Tupelo.
Yeah, I don't think so either, but could end up being a kind of an interesting game there with all those factors playing into it. So, yeah, Tupelo hosting Oxford to close out the regular season. And again, just a bunch of playoff games in 2A, 3A, and 4A this week. We mentioned some of them. We got in 2A, for instance, Calhoun City is at home against Lake. Could be a good one. Both of those teams are 8-2. You got Walnut in 2A at West Tallahatchie. Could be a good one there as well. 3A, you've got Boonville at Yazoo County, undefeated Yazoo County. That could be a tough one there for the Blue Devils, who are banged up. Houston at home against MS Palmer. Uriah Shepherd and the Hilltoppers are going to try to keep rolling there. Kossuth at home against Ruleville Central. Belmont on the road at Charleston. Had a story on them earlier in the week. Belmont having one of its better seasons of late, coming off a big win against Boonville last week. And 4A, we've got Itawamba AHS at home against Kosciuszko, Pontotoc at home against New Hope, Edmondson Corinth. They're on the road at Clarksdale. Ripley's at home against Yazoo City. So just a sampling of playoff games. A lot of good action this weekend in the 2A, 3A, and 4A playoffs. Let's real quick talk about a story that's actually going to run tomorrow. So you haven't seen it yet, so maybe I shouldn't give away any spoilers. No, it's about Biggersville football having their best season in years, really in the modern playoff era, probably. I talked with Stan Platt, second year head coach, earlier this week, and they've got let me see. There's a lot of firsts, or the first in a long time that they've done. Right now, they have a chance, if they beat Smithville, to finish second in the division. Even if they lose this week and finish third, that's still going to be their highest finish in 1-1A since the division expanded beyond four teams back in 1999. This is the most wins they've got. They've got eight wins, the most since 1989. And they're in the playoffs for just the third time ever. Because they started the current playoff system back in the early 80s. They made it in 89. Last time they made it was 97. So this is their first playoff appearance in 20 years. So Biggersville doing big things. Stan Platt really focused on the eighth grade class last year when he got to Biggersville. And now those guys are freshmen. He's got 12 or 13 of those guys playing key roles. He's also got a couple of juniors that we've talked about, Quamon Davis and Quan Mays, that have been huge for them on offense in particular. So anyway, look for that story in Thursday's paper on Biggersville football. A few other things to hit on here, Dalton, before we get going. Basketball starts this week. Hello. It starts tomorrow for some teams. And then Saturday as well, we're going to have a lot of games. Saturday, we've got the Hound Dog Classic in Tupelo. It's actually a Saturday-Tuesday kind of thing. But Saturday is the big day. A lot of good games there. I'm going to go out and cover Belmont and Starkville girls that evening. And then you've got Tupelo's boys and girls both playing. Tupelo's boys going to play Okolona's boys. That should be fun.
Yeah, it should. Okolona is going to be good.
And this is the thing that I love about Northeast Mississippi basketball. You've got a 6A school like Tupelo, and Jeff Norwood is going to reload. They're going to be good this year. And then you've got a 1A school like Okolona. And Okolona beating Tupelo would not be really that much of an upset, especially with the players they've got. Ladarius Spears, Cam Smith, you had a story on them today.
Yeah, I did. And they lost four seniors last year. None of them started.
Yeah.
So all five of their returning starters are coming back, but Saturday they're not going to have one because of football. Okolona, they clinched the division, and so now they're still playing right now. And Jacorius Stanfield,
point guard.
Yeah, point guard. Starting point guard for them. He's a starting wide receiver, running back for the football team, so they're going to be without him. And then a few other players that I don't think are starting, but they could end up playing some key role-playing positions there.
Yeah, yeah.
But, they went 29-2 last year. They only lost to Tupelo and then the eventual state championship as champions. So,
yeah, in the playoffs, yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what they can do with Tupelo this year. I don't know much about Tupelo, but I know Okolona is going to be good.
Yeah, that's going to be the late game. It's supposed to start around 8:30, so I'll stick around and watch that and probably file some kind of story for Monday. But I'm going to cover the Belmont Starkville girls. Starkville, the de facto 6A state champs after Olive Branch had to forfeit their title for using an ineligible player. You may recall that news came down a few weeks ago. But anyway, Belmont always good. Chris Higginbottom does it year in and year out. Hey, cross country championships for this weekend, Saturday and Monday. And so look for our coverage of that. I'm going out today to talk to Dylan Allen, the runner from Morville, who's really good. I'm going to do a story on him later in the week. So look for that. And swimming from last weekend, Tupelo's boys. Guess what? They won again. What a surprise. I think that's 11 in a row that Tupelo's boys have won, winning the Class 2 title there over at the Aquatic Center here in Tupelo. Okay, and that brings us to Athletes of the Week. Do this every week. Close out the show by honoring a male and female athlete for their exploits on the field, on the court, or in this case, in the pool. Female Athlete of the Week, we just talked about Tupelo swimming. Celeste Turner, she won the 100-yard butterfly in a state record time of 55.94 seconds back on Saturday at the state swimming championships. And Gene Phelps had a nice story on her earlier in that week, last week. She's been battling scoliosis. I mean, she has major back issues, which for a swimmer is obviously could be a hindrance, but she gets in the pool and it's like everything's fine. I think she said in the story after she won Saturday that she felt fine in the pool and then it didn't start hurting until she got out. And so she's a senior and just a really inspiring story that she's able to dominate like she does. Imagine if she was fully healthy. So congrats to Celeste, and also congrats to her male counterpart, or male athlete of the week, Donovan Crossan of Tupelo Swimming. He had a big day there Saturday. He won the 200 freestyle title. He won the 100 freestyle title, and he was part of two of Tupelo's winning relay teams. So really dominant performance there by Donovan Crossan. So congrats to him and to Celeste, our athletes of the week. And that does it for this episode of Prep Rally. Thanks for tuning in. Coming to you again every Wednesday here Find us on iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or stream it online at prepRally.djournal.com. Follow us on Twitter at DJournalPreps for all your updates on high school sports in Northeast Mississippi. I'm on Twitter at Brad Locke. Dalton's on there at DLMiddleton8. And that's it for this episode of Prep Rally. We'll be back next week.